What do the viewers and our team think is going to happen with the Ollie Felicity Ray situation? Can a threesome be shown on the CW? Maybe a pay-per-view special? Will Thea pay her DJ with a BJ? And what will Roy's reaction be when he finds out? And when will whiny Hong Kong Oliver just bloody grow up? And my final and most controversial question this week, is it possible that Barry Allen, The Flash, used his super speed to throw arrows at Sarah and in fact kill her? Stay tuned for answers to all of these questions and more on this week's edition of the little podcast that we like to call Rogue Arrowed.
My name is Oliver Queen. After 5 years in hell, I have come home with only one goal, to save my city. Now others have joined my crusade. To them, I'm Oliver Queen. To the rest of Starling City, I'm someone else. I am something.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Rogue Arrow podcast, season 3, episode 7 to be precise. As always, I am Daniel Janes.
I'm Chris O'Neill.
And I'm Brad Janes.
Not as always.
And I'm Laurel Mers.
Nailed it. Yeah, the Mers Schubach clan are off being all West Coast and hipster, and like, I watched Arrow before it was cool, and I was in tech before it was able to do anything else. In other words, they're busy. So we have a substitute. My brother. Woohoo.
Veteran podcaster. I've done a guest host on the Cinemasters. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Sounds about right. I remember that. That was good times.
It was good times. It was, dare I say, awesome?
Everything about it was awesome.
All right.
Awesome. Cool. Over to Jeremy for our recap.
Hi, this is Jeremy from Melbourne, Australia, with a recap of the CW's hit show Arrow, Season 3, Episode 7, Draw Back Your Bow. This week we open with a retconned rescue of Cupid and an introduction to her cool theme music. Isaac Stanzler makes it into this episode only as far as the recap. Cupid gave him one in the heart, and not in a good way. Hong Kong Oliver gets his domestic ass handed to him by Katana. Ray Palmer works his way up a salmon ladder, then buys his way into a dinner date with Felicity with a sweet blue dress. She says there's nothing platonic about couture. Oliver discovers Felicity has a life away from the Arrow Cave. Diggle turns into Oliver's advice in Affairs of the Heart and tells him he needs to go after Felicity. For some reason, Oliver smashes open one of Cupid's arrows and finds a fortune cookie message inside with an address. Cupid contacts him at this location and tells Ollie she's going to keep killing for him and perhaps drop off dead offerings like your pet cat might drop off a dead bird or mouse. Oliver has his once per episode mandatory CW moment with Roy. It wasn't you, it was the Mirakuru, he says. Thea opens a scene where she's a judge on American Idol, or I think that's what it is. A blonde dude bluffs his way through and promises Thea he's a perfect DJ for her club. Thea tells him to go away. Cupid is holding a mob boss hostage, and Ollie and Roy find him using simplified TV logic, of course. Cupid gets the jump on Roy, but he's only interested in jumping Ollie, and Ollie saves the mob boss, and Cupid, of course, gets away. Impersonating a group of 12-year-olds, Diggle goes to Felicity and tells her that her seeing Ray is making Ollie cray-cray. Ollie visits Cupid's psychologist and gets advice from her about Cupid. Don't lie to her, she says. Katana continues her worrying trend of liking Oliver and reveals her wilder side to stop Oliver from being killed by Chinese mafia. Katana is told that her husband Maseo is likely to be dead. Ray lubricates his relationship with Felicity with a $10 million diamond bracelet. At dinner, she sells the concept of Ray into the heart of the owner of the mine that Ray wants to buy, and in doing so, travels further into the heart of Ray. A computer programmer is employed by Cupid to work out where Oliver's base is likely to be. She gets her answer, then slices open his jugular. He won't be back. And apparently all Verdant needs was to turn on the laser light show and to play some Lil Jon tracks to make a night a success. Oliver fights Cupid and takes way too long to beat up a girl. Ollie gets trapped with the old handcuffed to the train tracks with an oncoming train scenario. But Ollie uses his detachable thumb and rescues himself and Cupid's suicide by train. Ollie hands her over to the suicide squad, next likely to be seen in a season 4 episode. Hong Kong Ollie finds that Maseo is safe and two parents kiss in front of their kid. No matter the age of the parents or the kid, it's always gross to do this in front of your kids. The up himself DJ gets his money, but hands it back to Thea and cops a feel at the same time. Thea's mind is blown and interest raised. So we have three kisses in three consecutive scenes on this episode when Ray slips the necklace off Felicity as he slips a big wet one on her. And in CW tradition, Ollie is there at exactly the right, or is it wrong, time. Ollie and Roy turn up at the Diggle House for a free feed. And to finish the episode, we see Ray power up the magical 3D blueprint machine of an Atom amazing exosuit, and then see someone who will later be known by the awful name as Captain Boomerang use a metal boomerang to kill a man in the alley. His choice of weapon is confusing, as is his take on an Australian accent. And now, some questions. What do the viewers and our team think is going to happen with the Ollie Felicity Ray situation? Can a threesome be shown on the CW? Maybe a pay-per-view special? Will Thea pay her DJ with a BJ? And what will Roy's reaction be when he finds out? And when will whiny Hong Kong Oliver just bloody grow up? And in my final and most controversial question this week, is it possible that Barry Allen, the Flash, used his super speed to throw arrows at Sarah and in fact kill her? Stay tuned for all the answers to all of these questions and more on this week's episode of the little podcast that we like to call Rogue Arrowed.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Good stuff. Good stuff as usual. Great.
BTW, are you free for dinner tomorrow night?
What?
I have a dinner with the CEO of a Nevada mining concern. They own mineral rights, which are imperative to the cogeneration project.
Oh, and I fit into this how?
The CEO is boring. His wife, even more boring. If I'm forced to go solo on this, I'll end up slicing my wrist open with a butter knife.
Well, I don't think a butter knife is gonna do the job.
Oh, there'll be steak knives there too. Dangerous.
Well, I'm sure you have a dozen other employees that would be better suited as your anti-boring wing woman.
Hundreds, actually. But you are the one I bought this dress for.
This dress costs more than my apartment.
Yeah, it's couture. Which I'm pretty sure is French for expensive. So, dinner? Purely platonic.
There's nothing platonic about couture.
Fine. I'll have my assistant return it.
All right, I'll go. But only so I can wear this dress.
Of course.
Best friends.
So season 3, episode 7, Draw Back Your Bow, written by Wendy Miracle and Beth Schwartz, and directed by Rob Hardy. Yeah. Let's see. Let's start with some Hong Kong action. Because that's the most exciting.
It was more exciting this week than it's been so far.
This is true.
Yeah. It was the most interesting, and I did enjoy seeing, I can't remember the wife's name, but seeing her go all ninja.
Yes. Katana kicking ass was...
With a katana. Ass.
Yeah. Living up to her name, if you will. Was really nice to see.
Agreed. I don't know. I thought it was weird with the big, like, her husband's dead, but no, he's not dead. He's there. He's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going with that.
Why the things happened was odd, but, you know, her kicking ass was pretty fun. So.
Yes. Yeah.
And Ollie just got his ass handed to him. He didn't even throw one punch, I don't think. I find strange, seeing as he sieged a ship last season in the flashbacks.
Yeah, it is weird. Each of the season's flashback arcs, it seems like he starts fresh each year, and then by the end of the year he's a total badass.
Yeah. And then huge steps back again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I don't think he stepped back last season. I think there was just less action to be had, if that makes sense. So they dealt with fires and then they had to deal with the ship, which was a completely different challenge. But rather than getting his ass kicked all the time, there just happened to be mortars and more guns involved.
Yeah.
That's but this true. Time he really does seem to have gone back to like almost at the beginning kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and yet he has like no qualms about murdering a dude an episode or two ago.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Forgot all about that.
Flashbacks have been pretty weird. Odd this season. Pretty odd indeed.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see, yeah, like I said, what their arc is for this. And if it's more than just introducing Katana and then maybe reintroducing China White, like hopefully we get to see Oliver do something interesting.
I'm sure we will. It seems, just by the pacing, it seems like they're going to pay off the Katana story more so than they just did by the end of the first half of the season, by the mid-season break. And then they're slowly building to Suicide Squad kind of thing. Argus as somewhat of a big bad. So
yeah. I mean, that seems like what's going on in the present, but...
Yeah, well, they tend to connect.
Sure. Do you think the kid's going to die?
It's quite possible.
In the flashback?
Yeah.
It would be a good motivation for Oliver and Katana to hate each other / work together.
And the threat for the guy's family is already like a present thing, because that's what Amanda Waller's already threatened to do. Like, if he can't control Ollie, she's going to kill his family.
Yeah. So if
makes me not see how she could be a good guy.
Yeah. Because when the kid dies, then she blames Oliver for being there. And yeah. So.
Yeah. Waller's always like morally ambiguous in all the comics and in the Justice League show.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to start reading the comics. I've only read Year One and Longbow Hunters.
You should read Kevin Smith's stuff and then jump to Jeff Lemire's recent run.
Kevin Smith as in Silent Bob Kevin Smith?
Yeah. He brings him back to life after he dies in the 90s. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, his stuff's pretty great.
Sweet. All right, I'll check that out. I'll go to King's Comics.
And there's a couple of Arsenal miniseries like in the 90s that are quite enjoyable. Speaking of Arsenal.
Yeah. And also Justice League Cry for Justice. If you want some good hard-hitting era stuff, that's a good place to go.
I'm probably just going to order this along the line. It would be cheaper to order it from the States anyway. Awesome.
This is true. Yeah, collecting comics in Australia was not the most fun thing, but not what this podcast is about. So,
no, not at all.
Can Arrow. I say it? Can I say it? So Arrow.
Yeah.
So Arrow.
All right. Anything else on the flashback?
No.
Cool. We just hope it gets better. Sword.
Maybe Oliver will learn some sword fighting.
Wouldn't Probably be surprising. Not. But we have not seen him sword fight at all, so we don't know if he knows sword fighting.
Oh, maybe she'll come in the present and then fight Thea with the swords.
That could be.
That would be cool.
I'm just reaching right now.
Yeah. I don't see that happening, but I would enjoy it. But nice segue. Let's talk about Thea and her new love interest, because she's been over Roy for a solid episode.
Yeah.
The magic DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had issues with that whole DJ set thing. Like, for some reason, I got to use flashy lights as as Jeremy pointed out, like, for some reason he gets to put on flashy lights and the other guy didn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. He seems, you know, like, kind of like Roy did, but I don't know, more DJ-oriented than street hoodlum-oriented. But he seems like almost the same character.
Yeah. She's got a type, too.
Yeah, she's got a type.
Yeah, I was not impressed by that whole thing.
Yeah, it was very, very obvious. I mean, he shows up. Yeah, auditions are over. No, they're not. You have to leave. All right, I'll leave. Oh yeah, my God, this DJ sucks. Hey, I'm back.
Yeah, that was my second least favorite thing of the episode.
Really? That bad? And that might actually be my least favorite.
But... just of this episode, I should say. There was one thing that I disliked more, and we'll talk about that later. But this was my second least favorite. I thought it was, yeah, very ham-fisted.
Yeah, is he supposed to be, like, a recognizable name? I didn't even catch his name.
Nor did I.
Oh, I didn't catch his name either. I knew that he was going to be the new boyfriend, but that's because I have Thea on Instagram.
Okay.
In my non-stalking capacity. I'm doing air quotes, which helps no one, seeing as a video. She put up a photo like months ago, and it was like a photo of the guy who plays Roy and this other guy. She's like my ex-boyfriend and my new boyfriend. Like, I guess.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, what was the spoiler alert on that? Also, she put up a photo of like her being topless and Deagle having his hands over her chest.
I did see that one. That was odd. Looks like his name is Chase, according to IMDb. So, not very helpful.
Right, so we're going to Chase.
The only Chase in the comics that I know off the top of my head is, like, Dr. Chase Meridian, who's, like, Batman's love interest at some point, and I also a woman, and, yeah, I don't think that Nicole has anything Kidman to do with
plays,
this.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman plays
Dr.
Meridian in Batman Forever, which was not a good film, but...
Give it another watch. It's not the worst Batman film.
No,
it's great as a sequel to Batman 66. So, right. Yeah, he might be somebody important. I mean, I doubt it, but might be who Roy decides to kill now that he's a killer.
Yeah, I mean, there's like, you could guess that maybe Merlin sent him in or something like that. But yeah, I'm guessing he's just kind of a random guy right now.
Yeah, someone as a foil to Roy to prove that Roy and Thea are completely platonic. Because this is the CW and they can't not be that without somebody else in the picture.
Also, this was the big episode for both Roy and Ollie where... You know, they're having to deal with, like, their love interests having moved on.
That's true. It does add a parallel there.
Yeah, and it put the two of them on the same page, I think.
Yeah.
Like, that whole bit, I know I'm skipping forward now, but there was that whole bit where Ollie's like, are you okay? He's like, no. Are you? And he's like, no.
Yeah, which was a good moment. I guess as a build up to that, then it was almost worth having DJ, dude.
Yeah, that for that reason it worked really well. Unfortunately, it was just poorly written, I think. I don't think it was particularly poorly acted, just poorly written.
Oh, no, he totally plays a nice douche.
Yeah. Yeah, I've met 100 guys like that. Like, people that you just want to throw something at. Like,
yeah.
I'm good looking and know how to put a... playlist on, like, fuck you, you're not a DJ. But, yeah, he plays the role well.
It'll be just another reason for Ollie to be upset with Thea about, you know, choosing the wrong guy or whatever.
Yeah. Interesting. Kind of. Sweet. Let's move on to Felicity and Ray.
Yeah.
Okay. I get to talk about my least favorite part of the episode. They played up this couture dress that's meant to look amazing and, you know, couture's never platonic. It didn't suit her at all, which is a horrible thing to say because I think she's absolutely beautiful, but it just made her look weird. Like, she did not look particularly sensational in that dress.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. If it would have been a great dress if they didn't make such a big deal out of it being a great dress.
I think the problem was it's at a weird length. It either needed to go to the floor or it needed to be above the knees. Mid-shin is not a typically sexy look.
That's fair.
Yeah, I wonder if part of that was like her playing up it being awkward for her, because she's not really used to being the character, I mean, is not really used to being like the pretty girl. You know, she's always kind of been second fiddle to, you know, Sarah or Laurel or, you know, anyone else in her life.
And, what's it called? Iris in The Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But she usually has, you know, fashion sense and she wears dresses and.
Yeah. So. Like she wore that red dress when Gaius Baltar put the collar on her neck and she looked like that. You know, she, like, the dresses she normally wears, the black dress from when she was in The Flash and they went to play Pub Trivia.
Yeah.
She looked amazing there. So I was just a little bit disappointed because I know that she normally looks phenomenal. And if they're going to play up a dress, they should have brought out that black dress again because that was all kinds of lovely.
Yeah,
but onto the actual story.
I really liked her, I don't know, like her acting when, like, she got the necklace for the first time, and then when she was, like, talking about Ray at the dinner, and then at the end, you know, it's obviously a girl who's, like, awestruck by this guy, and it, I don't think it's just, like, a physical attraction, although there's some of that, you know, with the salmon ladder and all that, but... You know, he's so different from Oliver that it's really interesting to see her, like, so in awe of this person.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, because Ollie's all brooding and this guy's got, and I've said it before, like, real charisma. Like, because I said this when we first met him, like, I was surprised because he normally plays such wooden characters. And he, like, as... Ray Palmer, like Brandon Roth, is like, he's really killing it. He's playing the character so well, and he's got so much energy, and he's really interesting. I really like him as a character. So it was good to see him, like, I don't know, charming the pants off of Felicity.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that Felicity was able to keep her calm too. Like, she was definitely enthralled, but then she was able to whip out, like, hey. You don't know Ray. That's why you're not selling to him. She's able to keep her head cool and, you know, just go through the business side of things and not be all like, you should totally sell to Ray because he's totally awesome.
Yeah, and she did, like, her usual flustered self, which was also really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's, like, totally got her hook, line, and sinker. I hope he doesn't turn out to be evil.
Yeah, that's just unfortunate.
I don't think he does have a hook, line, and sinker. I think it's more of a, like, she really likes him, but not the same way that she wants Oliver, in the way that, you know, she'll jump whenever... When he says jump, she says how high. Like, she wants him, absolutely, whereas with this guy, she's beginning... She started off by finding him interesting when she very first met him and he was buying a modem for hacking, and then... found him infuriating and really didn't like him when he was buying up companies and trying to get her to work for him. And now she's coming back around. So she's coming from a different place. Whereas with Oliver Queen, when she first met him, she was flustered immediately because it was this playboy that was suddenly in her world and she'd never experienced anything like that.
It's true. True.
Look at that. I was articulate.
Yeah.
That was good.
You should not have beer more often.
I'm so sad that I have no beer. It's so hot here today in Sydney that I deserve it.
That's fair. Sorry.
That's all right. For the people at home, it's in the high 90s, low 100s.
Wow, I feel so sorry for you. It's like 33 degrees where I'm at, which is, I believe, zero in the scale that we should be using.
Yeah, it is. And I would prefer that. I'm furry. I need the cold weather.
Sweet. All right.
Should we talk about the kiss or the ending of that? The Roy stuff?
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah.
And the necklace?
I was a little surprised that he's like, yeah, I gotta go now. Like, what the shit? That made me think that he has ulterior motives. Like, he almost knew that Ollie was there.
I don't think they knew that he was there, but he's definitely been doing things after hours. You know, there's the scene he was looking at with the drone on the computer, and like all the weird stuff that he's had her been doing that we haven't really seen a ton of. But yeah, and then the suit,
the Iron Man suit.
Yeah,
it was very Iron Man. It looked cool though.
Yeah,
I thought he was gonna like stand in it and then it'd be all digital around him, but that would have been really hard to do.
Yeah.
They did an Iron Man movie.
Yes.
Slightly bigger budget.
Yes.
Much larger budget, I imagine, yes.
It does look very nice, though. It's a really cool looking representation of the Adam costume from the comics.
I know very little about the Adam, other than the fact that it's Ray Palmer. What's he known for?
Shrinking. He hangs out with somebody.
Elongated Man? I mean, he's kind of like a core Justice Leaguer.
Yeah.
He can shrink down to the size of an atom, and he's also this brilliant scientist, and, you know, when he's that small, I believe he can, like, travel via, like, telephone lines and stuff like that. Like, he can get down to the size of Data. I don't know. They usually use him for like magic school bus type adventures where they go inside people's body to fight whatever weird disease they have.
That is strangely accurate.
Yeah. Or that one episode of the Rugrats.
Yeah. Oh, that show.
Oh yeah. I recently got all the Rugrats to watch. I watched that episode. I forgot all about it.
That's funny.
They go into like Chucky's nose or something.
Oh man.
I think he's usually a scientist. I don't know a whole lot else about him.
I don't know if there's much else to know about him. So
I believe this is the first time that he's ever been a live action character. It's one of the few superheroes that didn't show up in any incarnation on Smallville.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, cool. Glad that we got Superman to play him.
Yes. I love Brandon Routh.
I do too. It's still, I am being won over that he was a great choice for this. Still a little weird that he's Superman and the Atom. Kind of like especially when Chris Evans was Captain America.
Yeah.
And what is it? The Human Torch was his other one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds did Green Lantern and Slade Wilson, Deadpool. Wade Wilson, whichever one.
But that's DC and Marvel, so I'm more okay with that.
Yeah.
Also, who cares about that with Slade Wilson, cause, or Wade Wilson, I don't know. Deadpool.
Yeah.
Not Deathstroke. Slade Wilson came first, by the way.
Deathpool.
Yeah.
Anyways, I also love how Brandon Routh is like 6.5 feet tall, and they always show him on the show as being like super tall, and then he's going to be this guy who can get really small.
That is also so enjoyable.
Like a giant person.
Well, all the people on that show are very, very tall, with the exception of Roy, who's 5'9".
Yeah, he's incredibly average.
And yet taller than me, the son of a bitch. But no, the tallest person we had on the show previously was the guy who played Thingy Steele. What was his name? Moira's husband.
Oh yeah, Colin Salmon. Walter.
Walter.
Yeah, he's 6'4".
Walter.
Yeah, that's Walter Steele. Yeah. He was 6'4". So like Oliver at 6'1", who I would call tall man, looks short next to him.
It's funny. Height is weird.
Mr. Gardner, did Ray have a chance to tell you about his plans for your mineral deposits in Nevada?
No, Miss Smoke. As I mentioned, I'm not interested in selling.
Please, call me Felicity. And I don't blame you for not wanting to sell Ray your mine. Because you don't know what his plans are. I mean, the thing about Ray is he's not a businessman. Businessmen make deals. They make money. What Ray is something else entirely.
Perhaps you could enlighten us.
He inspires. Ray isn't interested in making money. He's interested in making the world a better place. So if Ray wants your mind, believe me, because he's going to put it to the kind of use that's going to make you proud.
All right, let's talk Cupid.
Oh my god, I'm in love with her. So in love with her.
Her reveal the previous episode was kind of silly.
Yeah, I concur.
But yeah, she won me over.
I concur.
I thought this would have been a better fit episode to be in like February around Valentine's Day. Like they even changed the opening logo for the show to like her little heart-shaped arrow tips.
Yeah, I really like that they did that, but I would have thought if they were doing that that she would have lasted more than one episode. And I don't count her appearing at the end of last episode as being in an episode.
No. Definitely.
That was set up for this episode. I think if you're going to go to the effort of changing the intro and like making the episode about her, which they should have made the episode about her, that she would have at least lasted, you know, two or three episodes, like when we had the Huntress come in.
Yeah. It's safe to say that she'll be back.
Yeah, absolutely.
But who knows when.
I bet they'll do a Suicide Squad in the second half of the season.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I'm kind of hoping they do a like Suicide Squad Go Rogue kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, if they're going for Argus as a big bad for this season, then we'll definitely see more of the Suicide Squad.
Bye. I hope we see Harley Quinn. And I don't possibly see how Cupid could be crazier than Harley Quinn.
Yeah, they totally referenced her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like she's crazier than the last person,
than the last girl we had.
I so doubt that. But I thought she played a crazy woman quite nicely. Having dated a couple myself, I can say that like this is reasonably accurate. Like willing to kill people for an unknown cause, you know, just causing Oliver all kinds of grief in the name of love. Yeah. Proper crazy.
And very proper representation of the comic.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a couple trades in there. I think they're Green Arrow, Black Canary trades. And not just Green Arrow. But they're really fun. Because it's basically watching this episode. Because she's nuts. And she's all rivalry with Black Canary. Because, you know, obsession. It's a thing.
Yeah, I like that she was that she wasn't someone that they saved like 6 months ago, and then she suddenly became all like kick-ass villainy. She was actually a trained police officer, so I assume, you know, that there's, you know, martial arts and self-defense when you become a cop, and there's reasonable amount of training, so she should be a trained person, and she's not just the person that the Arrow saves during the siege of Star City, and then suddenly, you know, she's like, and now I'm all kick-ass as well. It just took 6 months. Why'd it take you 5 years on an island kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I totally missed that, because I was like, why? How is she able to, like, keep up with him?
Yeah, I guess that
also
too.
Explains the handcuffs. Good call. So, yeah.
It did upset me that she took down Roy so easily and that we didn't get to see it. There was no explanation. He was just lying on the floor.
But Roy has also been, you know, off his game because he killed somebody. So, again, it's one of those that's it's believable. If they had spent another 10 seconds on it, it would have been more.
I would have liked to have seen that 10 seconds. I think that 10 seconds was almost necessary.
Agreed. Yeah, I really hope they don't make this a trend with Roy. You know, I can kind of see it going down this path where he's always getting his butt kicked and then Oliver comes in and saves the day. Although I guess he had his moment in the Wildcat episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, last episode, wasn't it? Yeah, yep. He kicked all kinds of ass. It was really impressive.
Yeah, those good times.
I also follow him on Instagram, and that dude is a tank. Like, absolute tank. Muscles everywhere. It's weird. Like, why don't people just sit down, eat pizza, and drink beer like me? All right, I'm super single. Don't listen to me. That's a stupid idea.
Awesome.
So, I would have liked to see Cupid interact with one of the female leads.
Yes.
You know, either Laurel or Felicity. I guess there's the good phone conversation that Felicity, you know, Oliver was talking to Cupid, but he was really talking to Felicity. But yeah, it would have been interesting to see Cupid, like if Sarah was still around, Cupid versus Sarah, I think would have been really cool and really interesting dynamic. Or maybe also, in the future when Laurel puts on the jacket.
That's what I was going to say. I think they're leaving it open for that because it is such a big moment in the comics is them facing off.
Yeah. I hope they draw it out over many episodes and don't dick around with it in one. It's probably my biggest gripe with this show is that they deal with things too quickly. So you get characters that could be potentially great coming back in and out of the series. I mean, the only one that they've really done right is Deathshot. Like, since he wasn't a big bad, but they didn't take him out immediately. Like, he keeps coming back, and I think that's really good.
Oh, yeah. And what's his name? The dude who was also in Firefly. Was he Plastique? No.
No.
Some other explosive dude.
Yeah.
Shrapnel.
That sounds right.
And they didn't find his body, so hopefully he comes back.
Yeah. No body, no death.
Yeah.
That's great.
So Rudy left me with a few notes since he was going to be busy with tech and stuff. I'll just read through those real quick. He says, I officially F hate the word lover. Assuming that means fucking. Officially fucking hates the word lover. Heart-shaped arrowheads are impractical and non-aerodynamic. I would agree with that. Fantastic fight scenes. As usual, yeah. Glad to see hints at, air quotes, the Atom, but that hologram scene is straight out of Iron Man.
Yes. Yep.
And then he has his best line of the episode, which we will get to in a little bit.
Nice.
So, yeah, Oliver breaks his thumb to get out of the sinister tied to the railroad tracks.
Oh, and kudos to Jeremy for referencing detachable penis.
Yeah.
In the intro.
I didn't even realize that was a reference, but I love it.
Wait, didn't that song originate in the States?
Probably.
Just Google detachable penis. There's a whole song about it.
I know.
It's wonderful.
I know the song. I just didn't connect to them. I don't think about that song too often.
I think it was on the radio just the other day over here.
Oh, man. Your country is ridiculous.
Back to Arrow. So Arrow.
Arrow.
I really liked how Oliver never once succumbed to the, the insane ravings of this psycho woman.
Right.
You know, because at the end he totally could have been like, "I was wrong. I do want to be with you," and then she would have let him out. But instead, he chooses to snap his own thumb backwards, just to get out of that situation.
Yeah. It kind of felt like a parallel to the Huntress in her first episode. There was some similarities between how the story played out. She obviously wasn't obsessed with Oliver, but it wasn't original enough to make it different.
Yeah, but they got it on.
So
Oliver was not going to touch this woman.
A little too crazy.
I don't know. On the crazy hot scale, I'd say she's perfectly fine.
Right on the Vicky Mendoza diagonal.
She's probably about a 9 or 10 crazy, but she's probably a 9 or 10 hot as well. So, yeah, you're running the line, but worth it. I'd say worth it. She looks just, she is lovely.
I also really liked her scene with the phone where she was watching them from across the street. I thought that was really creative, camera work. I don't know. It looked really cool.
Yeah, it did. I completely agree. I was thinking that at the time as well. I like the fact that she's looking at them and she's not referencing that she can see them, so they're not looking for her, and she's just there. Within the shot of an arrow, kind of, just there.
Totally.
And Diggle went in without his mask on. That's the other thing.
Yeah, I think you guys were talking about it last episode, but yeah, he needs to get a suit. I think they should go back to him also being the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
Because he looked so cool when he wore that in the first season.
And also, that would really fuck with people.
Totally, yeah. He could literally be in two places at once.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he wasn't doing that when there was the big siege. Because I think they needed two Green Arrows.
Yeah.
In that particular instance, because there was so much shit going on that it would have been good to have him in both. But I don't know if he's any good at shooting a bow and arrow now that I think about it.
Yeah.
You know what they should do? They should make Roy Red Arrow, and they should call Diggle Arsenal, because he's good with the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Black Arrow, because racism.
That's racist. Purple Arrow would be fine.
Yeah.
But he wears black. He always wears the black balaclava. And the Black Arrow also refers to Malcolm Merlin is the problem.
Yeah, that's kind of too close to the Dark Archer.
Fair. All right, I think we're good with a lot of things. Kind of talked about Carrie Cutter, Cupid, as far as character stuff. Relationships between Felicity and Ray were good. Between Thea and not Roy were okay, I guess. They were
actually in your notes, isn't it? It says Thea and not Roy, doesn't it?
If I bothered to take notes about them, then yeah, that's what it would have said.
It's the magic DJ.
Yeah, the magic DJ. Sweet.
He has the power of the bumping the club.
Hello, lover.
Not your lover.
Well, maybe not yet, but after one night with me, that'll all change. I promise.
Gary, I'm here to help you because you're not well.
Don't ever say that again. You sound like that shrink that they sent me to.
I spoke to her.
You talked to that psycho. She just wanted me to take pills, pills, pills.
She thinks that love is the disease. But it's not.
Love is the cure.
I'm not the man you think I am.
You're a hero. You saved me.
I understand that you're hurting. And I know what it's like to want someone. But not be able to be with them.
How you wish things could be different, but they can't.
I can't be with you. I can't be with anyone. I have to be alone.
No, you don't.
You're a liar.
Well, let's get into some quotes then.
Clearly the I have a type was up there.
Yeah, that was Rudy's favorite. What are you doing with that? Oh God, I have a type.
I think my favorite was not actually a line. It was Felicity's like open mouth, just shock after the kiss.
Mm-hmm.
Like totally enamored.
Yeah. She did a great job this episode, just all around.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did.
And then her whole line about you don't know Ray.
Mm-hmm. That was beautiful. And
that was quite a lovely speech she gave. And Diggle had it wasn't really his inviting the boys over for the dinner. It's something we didn't talk about. It's not a line. He really played up the role of like Daddy Diggle.
Yeah.
He
took Ollie and Roy in, like playing a father figure to them, which I thought was really good, and I wanted to talk about that and forgot. Now I have it. I'm happy.
Yeah, it's, you know, the two guys who both saw that they're the girl that they're in love with is maybe with or definitely with somebody else now. And who do they have but their each other? Like it's totally bros before hoes.
It's guy love.
I do have one slight criticism, and it's nothing that they've done wrong. All I can think is like, if I was miserable about that, I do not want to go to the house of one of my friends in a successful relationship. That just
you don't want to hang out with the married guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially just, a new dad.
Yeah, that just seems depressing because a lot of new dads become the real patronizing fuck kind of thing. Like, well, if it was me, I would like shut up. It's not you. Shut up.
Diggle's a drink cool with dad, though.
Yeah, Diggle is a cool dad.
Yeah. Except for leaving the kid with a random lady that they just met.
It's fine.
And then sending some random Argus dude to pick her up after. Anyways, last episode. More quotes. I liked Felicity saying, what was it? I don't have the full quote, but she says something along the lines of not so secret, but super crazy admirer.
Yes.
That was great. And then when Ray's pulling out the necklace, he says, you know, but wait, you can't go out like that. And she's like, oh, I forgot to put out the zipper again. I always do that.
Yeah, and then right after that, he's like, oh, yeah, no, it was in $1 million. I think the thing was like, $10 million.
Yeah,
it was appraised for $10 million.
Oh man,
that's an absurd amount of money.
Those were huge rocks on that thing, though.
Yeah,
yeah. Depressing that necklace is worth more than I'll ever be worth.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Happy thoughts.
I'm happy. I got a new job. It's a big pay rise. I'm happy. Okay, let's move on.
Moving on. Not really any trick arrows.
I mean, they did the kind of flashback where there was the explosive one when he saved Cuban. Yeah,
that's true.
And then she had the message inside of her arrowhead.
Yeah. Because, again, that's practical.
There's a lot of, like, Oliver banging on stuff in the background in this episode.
Bang, bang, bang. You right there? Yeah.
Like, he's hearing that bang. And then, like, later he just throws everything off the table.
Well, how else do you show that he's enraged?
Salmon ladder?
There you go.
Yes.
But we already had Superman on the salmon ladder.
Yeah.
Can't have two people doing the salmon ladder in one episode. Two guys, one salmon ladder.
Salmon ladder race.
They should bring Barry over and have him jump on the salmon ladder as well.
Oh, man. What a nice segue into our questions. There's a flash question. So yeah, let's answer some questions from down under. What do the viewers and our team think is going to happen with the Ollie Felicity Ray situation? Can a threesome be shown on the CW? Maybe a pay-per-view special?
I'm going with no threesome will appear.
I'm gonna second that. A pay-per-view special. I would download that illegally.
Download shows legally? What are you talking about? We never do that.
I would if it was a threesome of Arrow.
Yeah, but not Arrow and Palmer.
Because with the CW writing, I'm sure I could find better fanfic for that situation.
Oh, you know it's out there.
Oh, I'm positive it's out there.
I'm Googling it while you guys answer questions, and I'll tell you if it's out there.
Dan's written some.
Why Dan's hands?
It's not published yet, okay? I'm working on it.
Your Roy/Ray shipping is all over the place.
I just don't know what to call them together.
Roy? Roy?
Roy?
Roy?
Roy? Roy?
I found that it's Elicity fan fiction.
Is there a Ray-o-elicity?
I'm flicking through. I think there might be one.
Anyways.
Oh my god, this is insanely graphic.
I'm sure it is. So yeah, moving on. Will Thea pay her DJ with a BJ?
She kind of already did, right? Like he's like, oh, you don't have to pay me. I'll just take this kiss from you without, you know,
making sure that
that's okay.
I mean,
it was kind of a rapey kiss. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
I'll third that.
She seemed into it.
Yeah. Also, when did she learn how to like be a super fun drink maker?
I mean,
she worked there last year a little bit, like when she was 19. But
right. Some states don't let you be behind a bar at 19, so.
This is the third season. She was 16 in the first season, so she's 19 now.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I love the fact that she's only 5 weeks younger than Emily Bett Ricketts, who plays Felicity Smoke, who's meant to be in her mid-20s.
Yeah.
Awesome. So
the answer to the question was yes.
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 That dude will be around for a little while. Something's going to happen with him. I have no idea where they're going with that.
Second part is, what will Roy's reaction be when he finds out? Probably rage. Roy rage.
That's kind of his status quo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brooding. He's almost brooding more than Ollie is now.
That's true. Should start calling this show Arsenal.
Do you think he's going to turn to drugs at any time? Because that's like a big part of his character in the comics.
I bet he will. I don't know, though, because, I mean, Speedy, Thea already went through that a little, and Laurel went through the alcoholism thing, so I hope it's not this season if he does.
Yeah, there's been lots of very special episodes of this show.
Yeah. If they hint at it towards the end of this season, I'll be okay with that, as long as they leave it till next season to actually deal with it.
They hinted at it in a really early episode with him. Like, he was in a hospital and they're going to stick a needle in his arm, and he was like freaking out about it. So yeah, maybe we'll get some flashbacks with him using and then
a relapse situation.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
I can imagine that he's going to start off on something that's not illegal or anything, something like Notos, because he hasn't been sleeping, and then it's going to go from there to, like, Coke.
There you go.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of built in.
I love that they're calling him Arsenal now.
Yeah, that's good.
Way to use code names in the field, like... Should have been doing that for a while now, but
yeah, I think we just brought that up last week too.
Yeah, you totally did.
I should probably stop calling him Roy in the field. Oh, hey.
Especially Oliver, like, it's a somewhat unique name, and, you know, one of the most famous families in the city.
And he showed up right after the era, right at the same time.
Yeah,
I know we've been down that plot, but somebody else could come in and be like, hey, that guy's name's Oliver. So,
speaking of using character names, the latest episode of The Flash was probably the best one yet.
Which one is that?
Remind me. Because I'm up to date with it.
Yeah, that show just always blends together.
He was talking to his GF, or GF want to be Iris, and they're talking about a name, and she's like, oh, I don't know. And he's like, well, you got to stop calling him what you've been calling him. She's like, what about, and he says, what about The Flash?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I really like that.
It was good.
I also like how Cisco just names all the villains. So they could just, you know, go with it and not have to come up with a clever way to get a name.
Yep. And then One Punch was amazing.
Yes. Ow, I hurt my hand. Yeah, I know how you feel.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the crossover. Is that next episode?
Next episode. 2 weeks.
Wait, does that mean we're going to have to watch both Flash and Arrow to get the full story? Or is it going to just be like in the same way?
Yes, I think so, because it's a two-parter. First part is in Flash, second part is in Arrow.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know how standalone they're going to be.
Yeah, and I mean, the Captain Boomerang was shown at the end of this episode of Arrow.
Yes.
And Captain Boomerang's typically a Flash villain. This a pretty lame one, but I don't know. This guy looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it out there. Anyone who's ever tried to throw a boomerang, making a boomerang come back is not easy. It does not automatically do it because it is shaped that way. You need to throw it to the way.
Yeah.
Believe me, we've all done it here in Australia. Like, every, like, childhood camp you go to, they're like, and now we'll learn to throw boomerangs. And all you do is spend the day throwing something, then going and looking for it in the bush. Because it's gone.
You know what you or call a boomerang that doesn't come back?
A stick?
Yep. All right. Yeah, Flash is good. We'll talk more about it next episode.
Very exciting.
And two more questions. When will whiny Hong Kong Oliver just bloody grow up?
2 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
2.5 years?
Seems reasonable.
Or three and a half. I feel like Oliver really, you know, finished growing up at the beginning of the second season.
Yeah.
You know, when he made the vow to not kill. That's when I liked the first season, but that the beginning of the second season is where this show became a favorite of mine.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Sweet. And my final and most controversial question this week. Is it possible that Barry Allen, the Flash, used his super speed to throw arrows at Sarah and in fact kill her?
No.
I'm going to say no. But I'd also say that Oliver might come to that conclusion and that could cause strife between them, because otherwise there's really no reason for them to be fighting each other because they're already friends and they already know each other.
Oh yeah, they're totally going to do the Marvel thing where they fight and then they team up and take down the bad guy, who I guess is Captain Boomerang?
Maybe. Probably. Yeah, probably, because I don't know. Because he shows up in Arrow, and that's where the show or episode's crossover is going to end. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm absolutely looking forward to it.
Seems a little contrived to be this early. Like, in two seasons, when they're, you know, both grown a little and not as close to each other, and I don't know.
I think this sets a good precedent, though. So, you know, they can, I don't know if they're going to add new shows, but, you know, if they start adding in more heroes, like more ancillary heroes, they've kind of hinted at Firestorm over on The Flash. We've seen like Wildcat. We can totally see like a, you know, not a Justice League, but maybe like an Outsiders or something like that happen within like this TV universe.
That's fair.
I think that would be really cool.
Agreed. Cool. That's it. That's all the questions. So,
excellent.
Until next time, please leave us some feedback over at roguearrow.blogspot.com or shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook and rate and review us on iTunes. And go to almproductions.net to check out our other shows. Also, we still have our death pool going, so if you want to get in on that, you could win some comics.
It's Katana's daughter, or son, the little kid. He's going to die.
Yeah. Basically, next person who dies that's more than a thug has some actual impact on story. Will.
Yeah, someone who's appeared in more than one episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So until next time, I am Daniel Janes.
I'm Chris O'Neill.
I'm Brad Janes.
Yeah.
It's a podcast.
Indeed.
You guys really need to figure out an ending.
Are you okay?
Not really.
What about you?
Not really.
Come on.
Where are we going?
For something we both need. Hi. I know it's late, but...
That was the invitation.
Something smells good.
Hi.
Hi.
Come on in.
Rogue Arrow Podcast is an Autological Media Productions podcast. Leave us feedback at roguearrow.blogspot.com or shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com. Please like us on Facebook and rate and review us on iTunes. And if you want to check out our other shows, go to almproductions.net. As always, thank you for listening.
Are you busy?
Am I?
There's this huge spider.
Guys, excuse me. There's a huge spider in my apartment that I need to deal with.
It was underneath me. Man, Chris.
It's an Australian spider, so that thing's like the size of my dog, I bet.
Yeah, and not the small dog.
Why not you? Oh, I said it.
Dan, what was that noise earlier? Was you have like a train by your house or something?
Oh, I just bumped the computer. Yeah.
Where?
Whoa! Fucking thing! It's not a huntsman either. It's one of those aggressive fuckers. God damn. Can you go get me something to put it in, like a container?
Oh, I'm shaking!
A container of some bull!
Oh, that's so making the end of the episode.
That's amazing.
No, just a fucking container.
Yeah. I can hear you boys laughing about it. I'm still trying to get the fuck out.
You should see how big it is. It's ridiculous.
Take a picture.
Screenshot or it didn't happen.
Oh, it's on a fucking curved surface. How the fuck am I meant to catch this?
Can you like spray it or something?
No. Do we have any spray? No.
Spray it with something.
Oh, it's gone in the toilet.
Can I just flush it?
No, it's on the inside of the sink. As in, sit down, it's going to bite you all the arachnophobia stuff. Oh, it's a fucking thing. I can't get it. It's just in the wrong place. I know where it is.
Is it poisonous?
No. Oh, well, it'll cause nausea if it bites. For fuck's sake! This thing is so fast! For the record, you're cleaning all of this up again.
Wasn't the system clean? That's how this started.
It came from your bedroom!
Yeah, I was cleaning my bedroom.
That's what you get for cleaning.
Jesus, sorry, I get excited.
I got it.
Okay.
I need the paper now. This thing gets out and bites me, I'm going to be mad.
You're a hero, Chris.
And drop it back in the room.
Come out the door?
Yes, I'm clearly using both hands.
Oh, you better get in my stuff. Stop it. It's all underneath my leg.
There's a reason for that. Yeah. No, I'm not killing it.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. I apologize for that. The spider is gone. It was a big mean fucker as well.
I'm glad everyone's alive.
Christiana, this is yours. Egypt. Okay, now I'm good. She walked in and handed me paperwork. Not my paperwork.
Wonderful.
Okay, where were we?
Where were we indeed?
Beginning, I think.
What are you doing? We were supposed to be at the press conference 20 minutes ago. Oh, God. I have a type.
You know Richard Branson works out twice a day? He told me I gave him 20 additional hours of productivity a week.
I'm sorry, I can't hear a word you're saying when you're doing that.